So
tonight
we are going to be talking about the topic of depression, and again, this is something that it's not sort of this sort of textbook information that I read somewhere and I'm just trying to share with you because it might be helpful. This is something where I have struggled with it in the past, and there's things that I've been able to learn with that that I want to share with you, and I pray it can be a help to you, because I think all of us can find ourselves in places like that sometimes in life, and it's not a good place to be, and we want to find out how to get out and stay out of it. And so, as we talked about last week, we often enter into addictive and self-destructive behavior because we're operating in a state that's unhealthy. It might be physically, a lot of times it's mentally or emotionally. We're not thinking right, or something's happened. Sometimes it can be social, just the relationships we have or relationships we don't have. We're looking for something, and so we grab hold of an addiction. And spiritually, too, there can be things that are amiss. But we want to understand, depression is an unhealthy mental and emotional state that we can get trapped in, and it can lead us into addiction. And the way that it is a lot of times because most different drugs are, what do we call them? They're mood-altering substances, right? And so if we're low, we want to have a high. But we soon find that once you put depression and addiction together, they feed off each other. The addiction doesn't solve the problem. It actually makes the depression worse. Because what happens, you have a high, but then you always end up having a low. And it just gets to be this roller coaster. And of course, a lot of times the depression just makes you want to give into the addiction all the worse. And so they're a dangerous duo. And so we want to learn to understand depression, and we want to learn to take the necessary healthy steps needed to get out of it and stay out of it. And so this actually is part of kind of a byproduct of, we did kind of a two-day seminar on this about a year ago, and so some of this information is in greater depth elsewhere, but I'm just going to kind of give you a lot of the highlights, specifically dealing with addictions and other things too. So first of all, what is depression? We all experience sadness in our lives, times where we're down, we're kind of bummed out, but we want to understand depression is something deeper than that, and it can be a very serious and recurring illness in which one's mental and emotional health is compromised. And we want to take it seriously. And it's sometimes when we don't really understand, or we've never been through it ourselves, or we don't know anybody that has, we see someone that's depressed and we think, oh, just snap out of it, just cheer up. And I'm sure the person wants to say, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Why don't I do that? And it's a complete lack of understanding. But we want to realize it's a serious thing, and it can be recurring as well. That sometimes it's a dark place, but it also, for many, it becomes a very familiar place. It's like, I'm back here again, and I don't want to be back here again. How did I find my way back here? And so we want to realize that. And there's various types of depression. There's kind of two basic categories of unipolar and bipolar. Bipolar is where you can be really happy or manic and then be depressed. You just go from one to the other. But then there's various unipolar ones too. One example would be like postpartum depression. We've known different ladies where they just had a baby and then they just about want to kill themselves just because of the change in hormones and things. But there's a lot of different things that can happen, but we'd say all of them are generally characterized by feelings of intense sadness, heaviness, emptiness, helplessness, and hopelessness. Where it is, why continue, why go on, there just doesn't seem to be any point to life, and just can't get out of that. And so we want to kind of think of depression this way. We could describe it as emotional cancer. And we really want to think of it in that way, treat it with the same seriousness and the same compassion for someone that gets it. Because you can think about it, if left untreated, it can be fatal. Suicide is the ninth leading cause of death in Canada. There's actually more people die by suicide than motor vehicle accidents. And so it's a serious thing. And so it's kind of the thing. It's like, if someone gets cancer, we hear about that. It's like, man, you need, want to be there to support you, encourage you, and help them through that. But it's because we don't really understand mental health that well. It's sort of, you're depressed, we'll just get over it. It's like we need to just realize, okay, this is something you have. I need to support you and be a friend to you in this as well. And so we want to think, well, what causes depression? And we want to realize it's not just some just simple thing, oh, well, if I just click this, change this in my life, this will be fixed. Because there's a lot of times more to it. Different things can contribute to depression. Physical health issues, there can be deficiencies with different things. Say, if your thyroid is not functioning as it should, that can lead to depression. Sometimes it's genetics. It can be something in your family where there's just a predisposition to it. Sometimes it can be your personality of just whether you're a bubbly person or you're more kind of emotional person. Sometimes it could be the environment you're in, people you're around, experiences that you have in life where you have some things that have been quite devastating and it's been hard to process those things. And then as well, it could be our perception, just how we start to look at life, the perspective that we have, and how, based on the information we have, the conclusions that we make, and sometimes we have a lot of misperceptions that need to be clarified. But we understand too is that depressive episodes can often be triggered by different things. It can be by grief, that say if we've lost a loved one, especially someone that's been married for a long time, suddenly they're widowed and they really miss that person and they don't know how they can live without that person. Sometimes it can be just stress of just everything that's happening in life and just seems so overwhelming that you're just burnt out and you get yourself to a point of depression. Sometimes it can be trauma, things that you can experience. Sometimes it can be a thing of bullying or abuse, that there's been different kids that have been bullied and end up committing suicide just to get away from that. That's the way that they found an escape from it. Sometimes it can be relationship issues where you break up with girlfriend or whatever it might be, that that you have that and it's devastating at the time. Sometimes it can be things that you hope for that didn't pan out the way you wanted. Sometimes there's things you hope that you could accomplish that you failed to do so. Sometimes there's things that you've done that you feel guilty about, you feel shame about, and that can lead you into depression too. Sometimes it can be chronic pain or illness where you're dealing with something, you've dealt with it for years, and you never seems like you'll ever get any freedom from that. And then sometimes it can be as a side effect of certain drugs or medications. I actually had that. At one time when I was living in BC, people thought, oh, maybe you have asthma. And so I went to get checked out. And so the doctor said, oh, have this puffer. Try that and see how that helps you. And I started taking it. And that night it was like I wanted to kill myself. And it was just like, why do I have these thoughts? And it was just bizarre, and then the next day I couldn't think clearly, and I was like, what has changed to make this happen? There is, oh, this puffer, that's what it is. And so I stopped taking that and told the doctor, this is what happened. He's like, okay, don't take it anymore. And so it's, but things like that happen. And so that's sometimes a sad thing, is because someone can take something, for medication for something seemingly harmless, but then just with the side effects that they can get them into a bad place. And sometimes a person doesn't get out of that soon enough, and they end up taking their own life. And so this is something to think about too, that this time of year we have what's called seasonal affective disorder, okay? And it can kind of be, in a way, a perfect storm that leads to depression, because there's different things that happen. That first off, always it's like, well, Christmas, we're excited about Christmas and looking forward to Christmas. And then Christmas is over and it's like, it's 3, maybe 4 months until winter is over. It's just like, oh. And then we're making Christmas the best Christmas ever, but then we get the credit card bill. I was like, oh man. And then it's like, work is not as busy, or things happen, and it's like financially there's this stress that comes. It's like, how am I going to pay for all this stuff? And then as well, in the middle of winter, we don't have as much sunlight. And if we're vitamin D deficient, that contributes to depression. And so all those different things work together, and at this time of year, we can really struggle with depression. And as well, we realize when we enter into a depressive episode, we may be tempted to turn to certain substances to change our mood. And so there's a lot of different things, different stimulants that we can take. And sometimes what we do is if we're down, we have comfort foods. And a lot of times they're things that are high in sugar and caffeine. And what happens? They give us a boost. But then there's always a drop down again. And of course, we don't look at sugar and caffeine as being as awful as these other things, but we can use them in those ways. And it's not healthy. It's not actually, it's a temporary fix, but it doesn't actually solve the problem. And that's the thing, especially when we get into some of the different drugs, is that we want to realize that yes, it gives us a high, but when that drug wears off, the effects go too. And so we go from this high and we go even further down into depression. And then when we're struggling with addiction, when we're starting to feel ashamed of this thing that we can't control, that's now controlling me, and then we're trying to break free from it and we can't, just all of that together, the shame and the failure, that can drive us even further into depression. And it can really take us much further and faster than we would ever expect. And so that's just another reason too, is just say, yes, I need to find freedom from this addiction, because this, coupled with depression, this could really destroy my life. So we want to think of different warning signs of depression. And so these are for ourselves, and then these are for other people. That when we're seeing these things happen, we don't just say, what's the matter with him? We say, wait a minute, is he having this struggle? And again, it's not something nowadays where people want to just, oh yeah, I'm depressed, because there's a stigma attached to it, right? But it is something we need to learn to talk about more, because we don't want to suffer in silence and then find out, oh, this person's committed suicide, and why didn't we see the signs? And so we want to be aware of that. So there's physical warning signs. When a person just has lack of energy, where they're just always tired, they just can't seem to function hardly, and if there's drastic changes in appetite or sleeping patterns, either they lose a bunch of weight or they gain a bunch of weight, or either they can't sleep at all or they can't seem to do anything but sleep. And so those things that happen, those are a sign. Behavioral, where a person doesn't have any motivation anymore, that they just think, what's the point? Where they're very restless, they're very agitated, they don't really focus on, like, say if they're a person that always try to make themselves look good before they head out the door, where now they haven't shaved for days, or they haven't done their hair or anything like that, haven't brushed their teeth for a week, and you sort of, okay, this is not normal, what's going on, right? And then isolation, if a person just, before they were part of things, but they keep kind of pushing away and making excuses to not be part of the group that they once were, that it's like, okay, what's going on? Emotional, a person's very sad, where they're irritable, have feelings of just worthlessness, where just nothing I can do is right, nobody loves me, where they just feel guilty and they're just obsessed with this thoughts of guilt for something that they've done in the past, that they just feel that they can't be forgiven for it, it was too awful. And then despair, where it's just a complete loss of hope. They don't see they don't think that there's anything in the future that's good for them. That nothing's going to change, it's always going to be the same. Then mentally, it can be where a person just can't concentrate, remember. It's something, especially when you know someone that's really kind of been on the ball at work for different things, where a job that they could get done super fast takes them like three times as long. You say, okay, this isn't normal. And it's a sad thing sometimes, because a person, well, job performance is suffering, okay, well, gotta let this guy go, not realizing, okay, there's other issues there, and letting the guy go can be the trigger that sends him even further down, whereas just maybe the guy just needs some help. And a person having really negative thoughts or even suicidal thoughts, where they're starting to think, they're starting to sometimes make plans, or say if you see them suddenly starting to give away a lot of their possessions to people. So I wanted you to have this. It's like, okay, this guy's planning for something and it's not good. So those are things to be aware of for others and for ourselves too. Just kind of as a mental check, okay, something's not right here. I need to get help. I need to realize this is serious. But the thing is we want to find recovery from depression, that it's something that we want to get out of, and as much as possible we want to stay out of. And so depression is an unhealthy mental state which any of us can get trapped in different situations, different circumstances. And what happens, our perceptions become clouded to the point that we become convinced of many things which are simply not true. But a lot of times a person can get to the point where they think, well, my family will be better off if I'm gone. And nobody's going to miss me. I'll be doing them a favor. And the fact is that that's completely false. It's like you're going to devastate your whole family if you're gone. And you touch so many different lives. It's not true that nobody's going to miss you. And it's just realizing that. But it's hard when you get stuck in that. You just, to kind of bring yourself out of that is not easy. And it's something that a lot of times we can't do it ourselves. We need help to do it. It's not something we just get over, and we need to reach out. And something we want to understand, that more than anyone else, God understands what's going on within us. And he wants us to find deliverance and lasting freedom from depression. He isn't, like, and that sometimes our perception of God can even get kind of messed up when we're depressed, because we think, well, God hates me. God is doing all this to me. He must be punishing me for this thing that I did. And I can never make myself worthy of his love. And the fact is, none of us are ever worthy of his love, but he loves us anyways. And we can rejoice in that truth. But this is a principle that we repeat quite a bit in NARU, and it's, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we need to understand that with so many things, is that there's lies that we fall prey to, and we need to identify them as lies and come to know the truth. And so, this is kind of the thing. Recognizing how dangerous depression can be, we need to be aggressive in fighting it. And it's kind of comparing it again to cancer. It's like if you hear the C word from your doctor, that it isn't someone who says, well, I'll just kind of, I'll maybe change my diet a little bit or try to take it easy and hope I'll just kind of, it'll work out of my system. It's like, no, this cancer is going to kill me if I don't do something with it. And so a lot of times we're very aggressive with it, right? It might take surgery. It might take chemo, which is like going through that process is just like you almost wish you were dead going through that. But you know, I got to go through this to kill the cancer so that then I can have life after that, that I can still see my kids grow up and everything else. And so there, you have to be aggressive. And so you want to think of a depression the same way. This isn't something that I can play around with. That if I don't kind of kill depression, depression could kill me. And so we want to be serious with it. And so medically, we want to understand it's wise to talk to a doctor. And it could be health issues that could be contributing to it. Maybe you're vitamin D deficient. And if, I know talking with my doctor, he said if you live in Canada, you need vitamin D because you're going to be deficient in that. We don't get enough sunlight. Could be your thyroid's messed up. Could be other chemical imbalances that he could help balance out. And so there's different treatment that can be very helpful in combating it. And there's even different things like electroconvulsive therapy that sometimes they found can really be helpful. And so it's finding out what your options are. And it's somewhere they're understanding more and more about it. So it's worth seeking some of that wisdom and recognizing, okay, this is a health issue, just the same as if I had some kind of cancer issue or other kind of disease. Let's see what I can do to get treated. But physically, it's kind of what we talked about last week, is we want to take a day at a time. And we kind of want to not kind of be working from a deficit position. We want to kind of get ahead of things and face things as well as we can. So we get more sleep. We make sure we have enough sleep. We get more active. That it's actually something that walking regularly every day, that releases endorphins in your brain, that can be as effective as if you took an antidepressant medication, just by getting that greater exercise, improving your nutrition, cutting out things like sugars and caffeine that just give the boost and then the crash, right? Just having just different wisdom there, and then limiting different substance use, that's all going to contribute to your mental wellness. Because anytime you have that substance in, you know it's just going to send you on that roller coaster again, and who knows where you might end up. And so learning, okay, this is something that needs to be pushed out. But then, again, like a lot of times we're our own worst enemy, we're depressed, what do we tend to do? We withdraw. And that's the worst possible thing that we can do. And so what do we need to do? We need to fight that. We say, okay, instead of withdrawing, I have to reach out. I'm struggling. I need to be able to make myself vulnerable, and it's not easy, but to say, okay, I need help. I need to tell someone I'm struggling. And we look for those that can support and encourage us, family, friends, counselors, pastors. And sort of sometimes there's people that we try to share with, and they're just, what's the matter with you? Just cheer up. And they don't understand, but that doesn't mean we stop. That means we look for someone else. And we need to find help. It's just kind of the thing. It's like if it was a first aid situation where someone's life was in danger, if you went to someone and say, well, can you help me? And they can't help you. Well, you don't just say, well, I'm just going to give up on this person here. We're like, no, I need to find someone else that can help me. And so we keep looking. And so there's a lot of and some realizing that the Lord knows we need help, and He often has different people in our lives that can help us if we were willing to look for them. But then, as well, we want to understand that in dealing with depression, we can't ignore the spiritual side of the equation. Because it's kind of the thing, as we learn to develop our relationship with God, we discover the truth that sets us free. And that's really when we're in the midst of that, those moments where we have these thoughts that are so negative, we need to be able to counter those with the truth and what we understand, that God can really show us in those dark moments that bring us out of that darkness and into the light again. That one, that we're neither hopeless nor helpless. That we think that we're beyond anyone's ability to help us, but we want to realize God is never at a point where He can't help us anymore. And so this is from the Psalms, this is David, and it's actually interesting because when you start to read through the Psalms, different ones, you actually see with David where there's times where really you could say he's in depression and he's really talking about it and just sharing just how it's affecting him and then where he finds freedom from that. And this is one of those Psalms. It says, "Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." That yes, everything around us, it looks like there's no hope, but God is our hope, and we can look to Him and hope in Him when there's no other hope available. And He can come through for us when no one else can. And He can be that help. He's a very present help for us in time of trouble. And so we can call on Him, and He's going to be there for us. As well, God can give us the comfort we need in sorrow, because that's sometimes where we're grieving and we can't find any joy again. We look for some kind of comfort and it doesn't seem available, but God can give it to us. And He is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. And He comforts us to the point that we can then learn how to comfort others too. And so it's he's able to do that for us. As well, we can get burdened down by guilt, but through Christ, we can be freed from guilt and shame. That isn't something where we have to carry what we've done for the rest of our life. That we really understand that we can be forgiven. We can be cleansed. That talks about that all our sins can be cast in the depths of the sea. That they're not brought up anymore. And that just that relief of knowing that we're forgiven, that it's not, we're not burdened down by it anymore, can bring us out of that low place. And as well, through Christ we can find victory. And that's the thing, is that a lot of times that we struggle with failure, but we can find victory through Christ. And it says another place, talks about all these different bad things that happen, but then it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that we can have victory in those difficult situations, and that can be raising our spirits. And so this was just a statement, this was actually in the first aid course that I took on mental health back in October. And it says, "Depression takes a while to develop and can take time to resolve, but it will get better faster with the right help." And that's the thing, is that a lot of times we try to deal with it our way. We think, I'll just grab hold of this and this will help me through this. And a lot of times that doesn't make it better, it makes it worse. If we get the right help, the faster we get over it. And it's always a choice, not just necessarily between good and bad, but between good, better, and best. And so realizing there's help that's available and that God is that help that we can always access And so as we seek help from God and we seek help as well from those He's placed in our life to help us, we can find freedom not only from depression but also from addiction. And that's sometimes what we realize. The addiction is because of the depression. And so if you deal with the one, then the addiction can go away. And so it's learning some of those different things and kind of peeling back some of the layers and find, okay, what's actually the issue that I have to confront? And once I do that, then a lot of these other things fall away. All right, so any thoughts or questions before we conclude tonight? If it's been a help. But it is something that I think more and more we need to start talking about it, because it's a lot of people are affected with it and just kind of suffer in silence. And it's better if we can learn to share it a bit more, and that way we can help each other out a lot more too. All right, so now did we have any awards to do, or? All right. Oh yeah, so here, Colton, so you've got, this would be your badge. Yeah, that one's coming back. Yeah. Okay, and so then for Malia, she earned the Psalm 23 pin and the 10 Principles pin, and so did I.